The character of Prospero. The importance of Prospero as a character in this play. Prospero is the most important character in this play. Indeed, he dominates the play from beginning to end. He is an impressive and formidable person. The entire action of the play, bearing some of the deeds of Antonio, Sebastian, Alonso, Gonzalo, Caliban, Stefano, and Trinculo, is manipulated by Prospero. In fact, we get the impression that the portrayal of Prospero constitutes the motivating force behind the writing of this play. After we have finished the play, he is the person who remains in our memory for the longest period of time, followed perhaps by Caliban, who comes only next to him in interest and significance. Prospero's supernatural powers. Prospero is not an ordinary human being. Indeed, he is an exceptional kind of man. He is a man possessing supernatural powers, and because of these supernatural powers, he may be regarded as a superhuman or even as a demigod. He is a magician who can control even the forces of nature. Of course, we must not make the mistake of regarding him as a juggler or a conjurer performing tricks by sleights of hand. His powers seems to be of a spiritual kind, comparable to the powers which the Hindu sages, Shias, and saints of ancient times are believed to have possessed. Prospero has achieved these powers by means of his continuous study of books dealing with the lore of magic and sorcery, by means of prolonged meditation and mental concentration, and though a development of his willpower, his books of magic continue to be important to him even after he has attained he has attained supernatural powers. And his mental and his staff also remain important to him till the very end. It is by his powers of magic that he controls Ariel, who is a spirit of the air, and he controls numerous other spirits as well. Prospero's magic powers are in evidence in the very opening scene, and they continue till he decides to renounce them. He has caused a storm in the sea by his magic, and it is under his instructions that Ariel takes charge of Alonso's ship and of all the passengers and the crew of the ship. It is under Prospero's instructions that Ariel keeps the ship safe from all harm and looks to the safety of the passengers and the crew as well. Under his instructions, Ariel isolates Ferdinand from the other passengers, and he separates Stefano and Trinculo from the other members of the party. Similarly, it is under Prospero's instructions that Ariel brings Ferdinand toward Prospero's cell in order that Ferdinand might see Miranda and she might see him. Of course, Ferdinand's and Miranda's falling in love with each other is not brought about by Prospero's supernatural powers. Their falling in love is something spontaneous on both sides, though it had been hoped for and anticipated by Prospero. Other actions performed by Ariel under Prospero's instructions are the arranging of the banquet by the spirits and the subsequent vanishing of the banquet through the intervention of a harpy who is no other than Ariel himself in disguise. The denunciation of the criminals and the rendering of their souls ineffective, the presentation of a mosque and the holding of the criminals as prisoners in a lime grove, some more actions performed by Ariel under his master's directions at the railing of Caliban and his fellow conspirators into a foul pond, the hanging of the gaudy garments on a line, the chasing away of the culprits by dogs and hounds, and the inflication of all kinds of torments by goblins on those culprits. It's noteworthy that Prospero doesn't use his supernatural powers for any evil purpose. His magic is not black magic. Black magic is exercised under the patronage of the devil, and the exercise of black magic is something sinful. The magic of the witch Sycorax was the black magic, but Prospero's magic is of the holy of religious kind. Prospero exercises his magic powers in order to bring about a reform in the characters of evil, in such a position that they feel deeply repentant of their misdeeds. Thus, Prospero's object in the practice of his magic art is to bring about retributive justice. His practice of his art is based upon the strict demands of equity. there is such nobility in his exercise of his supernatural powers that he appears us as a kind of beneficent providence. One who exercises black magic is always in league with the devil, but such is not at all in case with Prospero. His deep love for Miranda. Prospero's love for his daughter Miranda is perhaps the most striking aspect of his character. Apart from his exercise of his supernatural powers, we see him as a loving father in the very beginning when he gives her an account of his past life and the injustices which he had suffered at the hands of his own brother. Antonio, who had been helped in his devil designs by King Alonso. Before beginning his account, he wipes the tears of Miranda, who has been moved to deep pity by the spectacle of a ship getting wrecked in a storm on the sea. He then assures her that none of the passengers on board the ship had suffered the least injury. When he tells her about the cruel manner in which he and she, then a child of only 5, had been placed in an ill-equipped boat and then left to the mercy of the winds and the waves, she says that she must have been a source of great trouble to him at that time. In reply to his remark by her, Prospero says that far from having caused any trouble to him, she had at that time been a kind of angel whose presence had saved him from despair. He tells her that at that time she had kept smiling as if inspired by heaven with supreme courage. Her smiles had actually raised his sinking spirit and had enabled him to stand bravely against the coming misfortunes. This reply by Prospero to Miranda's remark is irrefutable evidence of Prospero's paternal love for her. And from this point onwards, we continue getting further evidence of his deep attachment to her. Indeed, it would be no exaggeration to say that it is Miranda's presence on the island that keeps Prospero alive, and that serves as an incentive to bring to Aten supernatural powers. Of course, there is another reason also which compels him to keep alive, and that is his desire to deal suitably with the enemies who had treated him in a most barbarous manner. But Miranda's presence by his side is perhaps a more compelling reason for him to keep himself alive. Indeed, his solicitude about Miranda's welfare is one of the two major interests of his life. It is in order to provide her with a suitable companion that he orders Ariel to isolate Ferdinand from the other members of Alonso's party, and then to bring him to his cell, because he can foresee that Ferdinand would fall in love with Miranda at first sight and that she would fully reciprocate his love. The union of these two young lovers gave to Prospero the most quiescent pleasure. At the same time, it is to be noted that he also takes the necessary steps to ensure that Ferdinand doesn't play any foul game with Miranda. Prospero always uses terms of affection and love for Miranda. He calls her beloved darling, dear heart, a rich gift, and the thread of his own life. Talking to Ferdinand, he lavishes the highest praise upon her, saying at the same time that no amount of praise can do full justice to her. His attitude towards Ariel. Prospero has full control over Ariel, who is a spirit of the air and who possesses supernatural powers. Ariel willingly carries out Prospero's instructions with regard to the ship and its passengers, who are facing a grave danger during the storm. In fact, the storm itself had been caused by Ariel under Prospero's specific instructions. However, Ariel has for some time past been feeling somewhat impatient in Prospero's service. Ariel craves for freedom, and after having carried Prospero's instructions with regard to the ship and its passengers, he requests Prospero to grant him his freedom. Prospero thereupon asks him he wants to his freedom Prospero had at one time rescued Ariel from his imprisonment in a cloven pine tree where Ariel had been confined by the witch Sycorax. When Prospero reminds him of the torture and torment which Ariel was undergoing at that time and from which Prospero had liberated him, Ariel once again feels overwhelmed by the sense of gratitude to Prospero and then renews his promise to serve Prospero for the full period of time which had been agreed upon between the two. It thus becomes clear to us that Ariel was at fault in demanding his freedom from Prospero before time. However, from this point onwards, there is no misunderstanding at all between him and Prospero. From this point onwards, Ariel once again begins to carry out Prospero's orders faithfully and precisely. At certain times, Ariel himself takes the initiative in rendering a service to Prospero. For instance, it's at his own initiative that he causes a quarrel between Stefano and Trinculo by invisibly speaking and making certain remarks in the course of the conversation which is going on between Caliban and the other two men. Ariel serves Prospero in a variety of ways, some of which have been specified above. After the initial unpleasantness between the two, Prospero throughout speaks gently and affectionately to Ariel. He employs several terms of endearment while talking to him. For instance, he addresses him as my delicate Ariel, my dainty Ariel, and my industrious servant. He also speaks words of appreciation and encouragement to Ariel. On one occasion, for instance, he addresses Ariel as my diligence and as my tricky spirit, meaning a spirit full of all kinds of clever devices. Nor does Prospero forget his promise to grant Ariel full freedom after a certain period of time. For instance, he says to him on one occasion that though he would miss Ariel's service, Ariel would yet have his freedom at the expiry of the agreed period. Eventually, Prospero keeps his promise. In the closing lines of the play, Prospero gives his last order to Ariel, saying, "My Ariel cheek, that is thy charge, then to the elements, breathe free and fare thou well." Prospero's whole treatment of Ariel throughout the play shows Prospero's essentially gentle and affectionate nature, though he has a harsh and stern side to his nature also. His attitude towards Caliban. It is in his treatment of Caliban that Prospero reveals his harsh and stern side, though he is never unjustly harsh or stern to anybody. The point is that though Prospero is basically a soft-hearted man, he is not unduly lenient and not over-sympathetic. Caliban has an inherently evil nature, and Caliban retains his evil nature in spite of his gentle and kind treatment, which Caliban has been receiving from Prospero in the past. When Miranda says that Caliban is a villain from she doesn't like even to look at, Prospero says that Caliban's services are indispensable for them both, and that they need him to bring fuel wood and to light a fire. When Caliban replies to Prospero's call rudely, Prospero addresses him as a poisonous slave begotten by the devil. Thereupon, Caliban utters a curse upon both Prospero and Miranda. And Prospero then threatens Caliban with the torments of all kinds, saying that Caliban would be made to suffer cramps and painful witches of his muscles. Caliban thereupon says that this island originally belongs to him and that Prospero is a usurper here. Caliban acknowledges the fact that Prospero had in the beginning been treating him very kindly. He admits that in the beginning Prospero used to stroke and fondle him, to give him water with berries in it, and so on. But he goes on to say that subsequently Prospero had become cruel towards him and had imprisoned him in a rock. Prospero reminds Caliban that the latter had tried to rape Miranda, and that it was because of the devilish act that Prospero had changed his behavior towards Caliban and had confined him to a rock. Caliban doesn't show the least regret by being reminded of his attempt to rape Miranda, and Prospero thereupon says, "A word slave which any print of goodness will not take, being capable of all ill." This means that according to Prospero, this son of a witch can never say the evil that is in him. Till the end, Caliban remains unreformed and incorrigible. At various times, Prospero expresses low opinion of this creature, who is often ascribed as a monster. At one point, Prospero describes him thus: "A devil, a born devil, on whose nature nurture can never streak." Later, Prospero refers to Caliban as this misshapen knave, and as the son of a witch who was so powerful that she could even control the moon and the tides in the ocean. Prospero describes him as the demi-devil who is a bastard and who had plotted against Prospero's life. Then Prospero describes him as a creature whose manners as a comsi as his figure, as disproportionate in his manner as in his safe. Still at the end of Prospero forgives him just as the forgives all his other enemies. His benevolent attitude towards his enemies. Prospero's final attitude towards the enemies who had driven him out of Melun is the real key to his character. He had very cruelly been treated by his brother Antonio and by King Alonso, who had aided Antonio in the nefarious plan to dispose Prospero and then get rid of him. Prospero and his little daughter Miranda, who was then only 5 years old, had been put on a boat and left to the mercy of the winds and the waves. Prospero gives Miranda a detailed account of the manner in which he and she had been treated 12 years ago. He had given the charge of the administration to his brother Antonio, who had become overambitious and has hatched a conspiracy to oust him from power and himself to become the Duke of Milan. It was only on account of this kindness of Gonzalo in placing some provisions in the boat, and also a number of books which were of a great value to Prospero, that Prospero and Miranda had survived danger from the winds and waves. It was their sheer good luck that they had landed upon the island where Prospero, though prolonged study and meditation, had been able to acquire supernatural powers. Prospero has thus a very strong reason to harbor a grudge against the enemies who had conspired against him and who had caused him and his daughter infinite misery, and indeed he gets a golden opportunity to revenge himself upon those who had tried to wreck his life and even to bring about his death. But by now, the furious desire for revenge has given way altogether. Revenge has given altogether different feelings. Prospero is now spiritually an exalted being, one who ranks with the gods. His purpose no longer is to punish and to exterminate his enemies. His purpose now is to make them realize the gravity of their crimes against him and to make them repent of their sins. Accordingly, everything that he now does is directed to that end. His dividing King Alonso companions on his arranging an impeachment of their crimes, though Ariel, who disguises himself as a harpy, and then his confronting them in person. All these events are manipulated by Prospero with only one object, which is to make his enemies repent of their crimes and thus to pave the way for their salvation and their forgiveness by man and by God. It is in the following verse that Ariel, disguised as a harpy, denounces the evil duos, namely Antonio, Alonso, and Sebastian. "You are three men of sin, whom destiny that hard to instrument this lower world, and what isn't the neighbors of petted sea, hath caused to bleach of you and on this island, where man doth not inhabit, you mongest men, being most unfit to live." Later it is in the following verse that Prospero himself denounces his enemies and at the same time forgives them. "Most cruelly didst thou, Alonso, use me and my daughter. Thy brother was a father in act. Thou art pinched for the now, Sebastian, flesh and blood. You, brother mine, that entertained the ambition, expelled remorse and nature, whom with Sebastian, whose inward pinches therefore are more strong, would here have killed your king. I do forgive thee, unnatural though thou art." In Prospero's forgiveness of his enemies, that really gives him a godlike quality, apart from the supernatural powers which he has already achieved. By means of his supernatural powers, he could have inflicted hellish tortures upon the men who had done him irreparable damage, but he doesn't use of his supernatural powers for such an human purpose, but uses his supernatural powers for a beneficent purpose. It's an admitted fact that to erase human and to forgive divine, and Prospero's forgiveness of his enemies is a divine act. Armed with supernatural powers, Prospero has developed a benevolent attitude towards human beings, and that is why he tells Ariel in specific terms, "The rare action is in virtue, and that is vengeance adding. Thy being penitent, the sole drift of my purpose doth extend
Not a frown further, go release the Mariel.
A philosopher and a moralist. Prospero, the protagonist in this play, is the very embodiment of wisdom. After having attained supernatural powers, he becomes something like a seer or a sage. He has become a kind of philosopher who understands that the world in which we live is an illusion and to which, therefore, we must not give too much importance. At the end of the mosque, which he has presented to Ferdinand and Miranda for their entertainment, he tells Ferdinand that the actors in the mosque were all spirits who have now melted into thin air. And then he goes on to see, and like the baseless fabric of this pigeon, the cloud-capped with the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples of great globe itself, ye all which inherit shall dissolve, and like this insubstantial peasant faded, leave not a rack behind, we are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our life, little life is rounded with a sleep. How true are these words that we human beings are made of this stuff of which dreams are made, and that our little life has to end in an everlasting sleep. But this doesn't mean that Prospero has forgotten the secular values of human life. He is acutely conscious of the need for some kind of a code of conduct for human beings. It's why he urges Ferdinand not to seek the gratification of his sexual passion for Miranda before the ceremony of marriage has actually been performed. In fact, he repeats his advice to Ferdinand in order to impress upon his mind the strict need of observing and obeying the moral code of society. Thus, Prospero is now a philosopher come moralist. Prospero's code of conduct also demands gratitude from a person who has received any favor from someone. Prospero himself expresses his gratitude to Gonzalo, who had conferred a great benefit upon him by providing him with food and water, and with some valuable books when Prospero had been put on a boat in the company of his little daughter to drift on the sea. Speaking to Gonzalo towards the end of the play, he says, "Holy Gonzalo, honorable man, mine eyes, even sociable to the soul of thine, fall fellowly drops." Prospero here says that his eyes are so full of sympathy for Gonzalo that when Gonzalo sheds tears, his eyes follow Gonzalo's example. Prospero further says, "O good Gonzalo, my true preserver and loyal sir, to him thou followest." A little later, Prospero, speaking to Gonzalo, expresses once again his sense of indebtedness to him. "First, noble friend, let me embrace thine age, whose honor cannot be measured or confined." His faults and imperfections. In spite of what has been said above in praise of Prospero, we cannot affirm that he represents perfection. He has become godlike, but he has not become God. He has developed certain divine qualities, but he has not risen to the position of God. No man can ever attain that position. Prospero suffers from certain faults of an information which show that he continues to be a human being despite his supernatural powers. We find in him an occasional impatience, an irritability, and even a certain harshness of feeling. His severe treatment of Caliban does have its justification, but the language in which he speaks to this monster and the threats which he employs in speaking to him show that he is rather stern and hard-hearted towards him. Caliban certainly has a strong reason to complain to Stephano that Prospero is a tyrant. Caliban's defense of himself, even Prospero rebukes him early in the play, has also a ring of truth in it. Finding Caliban reluctant to obey his orders, Prospero has threatened him with cramps in his body and with witches in his muscles. Whereupon Caliban points out that this island is originally belonged to him, that he had inherited it from his mother. She corrects, he complains that originally he was his own king, but that now he has been made for a prisoner and a slave. Prospero then castigates him in a very harsh terms and reminds of the favor he had done to him by teaching him the human language. Caliban's reply to this is that he had learned the human language, no doubt, but that he had learned it only to curse him, and that this learning had brought him no benefit. Prospero then rebukes him further in a strong term, saying, "Hag, seed, hens, fetch us in fuel, and be quick, thou wast best, to answer other business, sockst thou malice, if thou neglect'st or dost unwillingly."
What I command, I shall rack thee with gold cramps, fill all thy bones with axe, make thy roar. That beast shall tremble at the thy din.
Besides speaking like a tyran to Caliban, who is undoubtedly a monster, Prospero's manner of speaking, even to Ariel in the beginning, seems to be authoritarian and somewhat arbitrary. When Ariel demands his liberty, Prospero becomes really indignant, almost losing his self-control. Another noteworthy point in his connection is that later in the play, when he remembers Caliban's plot against his life, he feels violently disturbed and agitated as an ordinary human being would be under similar circumstances. A true sage or a true saint is always able to control his temper and his feeling, but Prospero is not able to do that on all occasions. Evidently, his sense of power and has made him somewhat haughty and arrogant. Prospero is self-portrayed by Shakespeare. According to some critics, the portrayal of Prospero in this play is a kind of self-portrayal by Shakespeare. It has been said that there are close parallels between the character of Prospero as depicted in the play and the character of Shakespeare in the final stages of his life. According to this view, Prospero as a sage and a sneer in this play represents Shakespeare's maturity and the ripeness of his intellectual powers during the final period of his dramatic career. The Tempest is generally regarded as Shakespeare's last complete play, and Prospero in this play represents Shakespeare as a man who has achieved the highest development of his mental powers. Prospero's giving of his supernatural powers towards the end of the play represents Shakespeare's goodbye to his career as a dramatist. The speech in which Prospero speaks of human life in terms of a dream shows that Shakespeare has now begun to recognize the transitoriness of life more intensely than ever before in the course of his writing career. Prospero is saying that all the buildings, palaces and temples on the earth and even the globe itself will one day dissolve, shows that Shakespeare, in bidding farewell to the theatre house known as the Globe in London, where many of his dramas were enacted. In spite of all this, however, we cannot regard the portrayal of Shakespeare as a complete self-portrait. Resemblance there certainly are, but it would be an exaggeration to say that Prospero represents Shakespeare himself in all respects, or even most respects.